Well, praise the Lord, everybody. For a while there, I didn't know if I was going to be able to stand up here. I don't know about you, but the presence of the Lord is in the place already. It's not that I have to just try to beg him to come in. His angels are already dispatched in their places. His angels are here. The Bible says that when the praises goes up, blessings comes down. When the people of God start praising God, the angels shows up and start praising God, and the glory of God comes into place. The glory of God is here. I just want you to worship God with me for a while. Just worship him. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Just look at God. Think about the things that he's done for you and what he is doing for you, how far he's brought you. Just give him the glory. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for your strength in the time of my weakness. Glory to your sweet name, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody holler glory with me. Yay! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel something here now. I feel something here now. Burdens are being removed. Yokes are being destroyed. Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. It said that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all those that were sick. Praise him today. Praise him today. If you can't praise him for yourself, praise him for somebody else. Oh, I'm going to preach today. I know I'm feeling something. I'm feeling something here today. I know I'm going to do it. I am free. I know I'm going to do it. You might as well come on, go with me. I can't sit down on God. He's too good to me. He's too good to me. He's too good. You may be seated. I'm going to try to take my time. But don't push me, because if you push me, I'll start preaching right now. I'm feeling good. First of all, I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. for being the head of my life. He is my creator. He's my king. He's my Lord of lords. There's no other name given among men whereby for you may be saved. Buddha is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Allah is not the way. There's only one name that I recognize, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He was in the beginning. All things was made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. The Word became flesh, dwell among us, full of grace and full of truth. Not only did he dwell among us, but he was crucified for us, went on to heaven, sent back his Holy Spirit to abide in me and in you. We're different from the world. We're not like the world. We have power over all the works of the enemy. Today is Father's Day. God is the greatest father that it ever was. If you want to have a definition of who a father is, just look at Jesus. Just look up to Jesus. He's the Father of glory. He is the Father of glory. I'm what they call an apostle. An apostle, according to Ephesians, would you put it up on the board, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Next, for the perfecting of the saints, for the works of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Next, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Next. But we speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. I want you to go to one more. 2 Corinthians 12:12, please. Truly the signs of an apostle was wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Next. For what is it wherein ye were inferior of to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me for this wrong. The signs of a true apostle. An apostle is not someone that goes out and get a Bible and call himself a man of God. Call himself saying that God sent him. God is the one that chooses an apostle. And a true apostle's signs and wonders follow. So you never know what he's going to say to you. So you must be very attentive, because he is the head of the 5-4 ministry. He is the head. He's the chief apostle. So when he come in, he is the ambassador. He keeps the church in order. He makes sure that the teaching of Christ is exactly of how the apostles, of how Christ gave it to him. And so we don't vary away from God's word. This word is the true and living word. It will do exactly what God said it would do. If you're in need of healing, strength, or whatever you need, and I'm not preaching, this is just my introduction, okay? So I haven't even started yet. But just to let you know that an apostle is not just anybody that walks in your midst. When he walks in, there is going to be signs and wonders. And God expects signs and wonders and expect healings and whatever you got, burdens being removed, yokes destroyed, expect that to get out of there. So today as an apostle, I take authority over every foul, demonic spirit in the place, every spirit that is not giving praise to God. I take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will not leave out here like you came in. If you came in full of burdens, you will not leave out here. If you came in sick, God will heal you in your seats right now. The words that come forth out of my mouth today will not be my words, but it's going to be the words that God has given me to give you. I feel a heavy anointing here, a heavy anointing that people need to be uplifted. They need burdens removed. They need that today. Some of them is in moaning. Some of them is in trouble. Some of them is in pain. You name it. They're in here today. And so God is going to remove this. This is Father's Day. I give honor to Pastor Brandon. He started crying this morning, and I kept looking at him, and they wanted me to say something. I knew if I had to open up my mouth, I would have been boo-hooing just like he was. So I decided, let me cool it for a while. Just give me a breath. But we got something for you today. I give honor to his lovely wife that God had put with him to be a blessing to him and you. They are a gift to the body of Christ. I thank God for the rest of the ministers and all the saints and all the friends. I thank God for you because it takes you to make the body of Christ. It takes you. We're all one body. Last but not least, give honor to my little white dove. I call her my white dove. My little sweetie. And, you know, for a long time, that lady would sit. She's not an upfront lady. She likes to do things behind the scenes. But lately, God had made her step up. She stepped up into another realm in the ministry. And I give honor to her, and I'd like for her to say a few words, if she will. But while she's coming up, I see Gianna is in the place today. You know, I look at you, and I see some growth in you for the things that you have gone through. But I'm prophesying to you, and I'm going to tell you that God has taken you into another realm in him that the average person don't know about. But you will be able to proclaim Jesus different than you ever did before. And many, many people is going to come to the Lord just because of you. Amen. 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 Now, when I tell you something, you can take it for truth. My aunt called me yesterday, something that I had prophesied to her years ago, and she had been watching me for years and years. I prophesied to her, I told her that she would be the lender and not the borrower. And she said since I told her that she'd been lending people money that in time before she could have never done it before. So it is good that you are here And you're going to be strengthened like never before to run the race. I know what it's like to lose someone. My dad passed away 2 months ago, as you know. And he passed away on his knees. He was a praying man. For God he lived, for God he died. And I haven't even had a chance to even mourn over him, because I know that he's in heaven, and I know how much my dad loved me, and I know my name is being mentioned before God every day. So I'm going to have Linda to say a few words, if she would.
Praise the Lord, everyone. What an honor it is to be able to come into the household of God and to raise up our hands and honor our Father, the one who created not only us but the entire world. And what a privilege it is to have men of God who stand as the head of houses, as men who follow God and lead their house. It's just an honor and such a privilege, because with a good father, with an honorable father, comes a good family and an honorable family. And I thank God for this family. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank him for the gifts that he's bestowed upon our family.
Yes.
Because he gave gifts to the whole church. Everyone has a ministry. Everyone has gifting. Everyone has callings. And I just thank him for that. Because there's nothing that can comfort you more, that can lift you up more, that can edify you more than a God-birthed family. Mm. And we are family here at the local body of Christ and in the entire body of Christ. And I just think it's such a privilege that we take for granted. We need to remember Father's Day more than just the third Sunday of June. We need to remember Father's Day first with our Heavenly Father, and then with the men that he has called to continue in his work, to continue in teaching and preaching and sharing the good news of the gospel, in being that good example, to raising up their children to fear him, to raise up his children to honor and respect and edify other people. Those are things that are passed on from a good father to a good family.
Amen.
And this is good family, and I thank him for that. And I hope that you all will be blessed on this day, not just the fathers, but the whole family. Be blessed and be encouraged in the Lord.
Amen. Very good. What a blessing to be in the midst of people that love you. I just want to thank every one of you all for the gifts that you have given and the gift that you give to me. And especially today that you guys gave me my gift. I can't wait to look into it and find out what I got. Everybody like to receive gift. I just want to thank each and every one of you all for the support that you give Pastor Brandon. And you have given him. And Pastor Brandon, I want to tell you, this is your altar here. And people come and put gifts up on the altar for you. And God's going to bless them more and more and more. And this altar going to start lining up gifts. People just going to be bringing you gifts to support your needs. Because you don't work. You're working for the Lord. And God will take care of his ox. And so God is going to take care of you. He's going to increase your people giving. They're going to come in and giving those that was not paying tithes or not doing what they're supposed to do to support the church. God's going to stir them up to start giving. And they're going to find out where their blessing is going to come. And it's just going to line up. See, there's one right there. God bless you. That's for you. For you. God is just going to bless. He's going to bless. He's going to bless. He's going to bless. He's going to bless you. So you won't have to go lacking. And it has already started. You had a taste of it yesterday that somebody just came by out of the blue and just by your house and just bless you overwhelmingly. And you didn't even ask for it, didn't even know the person. But God bless you. So that's what's going to happen to you. So there's something about working for God that God just going to bless you. The reason he's going to bless you is because you preach such an awesome word and you teach. You are a loving man. You love people. I mean, this is no fake thing with you. You give your all to people. And so they're just going to start giving their all to you more than, God bless you, sir. They're just going to start giving more and more to you, more and more, more to you. For you. It's for you because you're God's man. And whenever you give to the man of God, the Bible said if you just give him a glass of cold water, you shall receive a profit reward. So if you want to, Apostle Staten told people, said if, that this ministry is blessed. He said that it's blessed. It said there's favor on this ministry, and that if you push, give into this ministry, you're going to reap the harvest. You're going to get back. You cannot beat God given. God bless you. You can't beat God given. That's just God. And so you just watch what God do for you. And I want the people to watch how God just blessed this man, because this is the blessing that God has given me to give to you as a father. My sermon is the Father's blessing. The Father's blessing. And if you remember in the old days when the father got ready to die, they blessed their sons. Jacob was one of them, Jacob and Esau. Of course, Jacob stole Esau's blessing. But it was only by the will of God anyway. But God just going to bless you and care for the works that you have done. You already been blessed. People just been given to you already. But you're just going to be overwhelmingly blessed. And blessing means wealth. That's what it means. And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. You've been faithful to me as your apostle. And God is getting ready to bless you because you've been faithful. Being an apostle is not something that I chose to do. God called me to do his work, and I'm happy to do it. Sometimes in weakness I'm preaching, sometimes I'm doing it just because God told me to do it. I have no choice. I'm not like some of you. I can put it down, pick it up, put it down. I have no choice to do it. And I want to do it because the more I bless God, the more he blesses me. Okay? So let's turn to the book of Luke. The 15th chapter. And we're going to start at the 11th verse. This is a familiar scripture that most you know. You've heard it probably on Father's Day, but you never heard it like I'm going to preach it. You never had it the way God's going to give it to you today. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger one of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father's father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servant. When he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father's father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. What will you say? What are you saying today? So here in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, we see Jesus speaking to the publicans who was tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees who was religious people and the scribes who was the secretaries who wrote and kept record of everything. And the Bible says that he spoke to them in parables. And a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Even though Jesus was speaking to them, the Bible says that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the people. So in order to hear this, you must have spiritual hearing. Fleshly man is not going to do what God or hear what God is telling them. Fleshly man is not going to keep God's commandment. Fleshly woman is not going to keep God's commandments. The Bible says that if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will abide in my love. If you love me. So how do we abide in Christ? If you abide in me and I abide in you. So can you be without Christ? Yes. When you're not abiding or living according to his word. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want you to pay close attention. Sometime when God is trying to get a message through, sometimes there's a lot of activities and it distracts people. Well, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to distract you so you can be, you won't get what God is telling you. But I want you to pay a close attention because all of you all have been in this situation that I'm telling you. Somewhere down the line, you have been there. So here he speaks of a certain man. He don't give any name of the man, but when Jesus tell a story, it is a earthly story and it is a true story. It's not just something that he made up. It's not just something that he's trying to convince somebody of a story. You know how some people can just tell a story and it's good story. You know, you spend for hours and hours listening to their stories. And so here Jesus said that there was two sons. One was a wasteful son called prodigal. The other one was a brotherly son, which was, he was a good boy, a good son, but he had some problems too. And so here the prodigal son wanted all his living, everything that he had worked for, because he was tired of being under his father. And he wanted to go out and do some righteous living. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. I've been there. Whatever. So he wanted his father to give him everything that was coming to him. And if you notice in verse 12 says, and the youngest son, and the father gave me the portion of good. His father didn't argue with him. He just gave it to him. He didn't even ask him, what are you going to do with it or what? He just gave it to him. And so he said, not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So when I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about chump change that this young man had. I'm talking about his father was rich. And his father gave him enough that would last him for a lifetime. He was a rich man child. And so when he went out and it was a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He had spent everything he had, and now he's in want. No money out in a foreign country, a far country. Far country represent the world. He had went out into the world. It's like your children or your child that you've tried to raise right. And all of a sudden, they don't want to listen to you. They're ready to be their own man or own woman. And they go into the world. And you can no longer tell them what to do or how to act or what to say. Because they say, well, I'm grown. I can do whatever I want to do. You can't tell me what I can't do. And you can't. So he says that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Who do you think that was? Who do you think that citizen represent? Satan. He joined himself right up with Satan. That's all Satan wants to do. Satan wants to find you at your lowest state. He wants to find you at the lowest point of your life, where you got no money, you don't have no more friends, you're too embarrassed to go back, and now you're in a hog pen. You're out there feeding hogs and ready to eat down with the hogs. And some people go as low as eating with the hogs. That's meaning that now you're at a point of insanity. You have lost your integrity. You've lost all shame. You don't even know how to get back home, some people. They stay on out there. They either, somebody have to bring them the message or help them to get out, or they will perish right there. That's really sad. That's mean being in a state of insanity, meaning that you are bankrupt. And a lot of people, they don't know how they got down in that situation. They have no idea how to get down, how they got down in that situation. But I noticed that over the period of years of teaching the Bible, I found out that there are 7 steps how a person they keep stepping down, down, down until they get in what they call the gutter. And the first step that a person start going downhill is when they become, number one, is self-will. Meaning that they're being stubborn, obstinate, and willfulness. Meaning they're not willing to listen to anything anybody is saying. The next step down is selfishness. Meaning that they become stingy, uncharitable, and parsimonious. They don't want to help nobody. Everything that they make, they only think about themselves, and they just waste it on themselves. They have nobody else in mind but themselves. The third step, number three, is separation. All of a sudden, church is no longer good with them anymore. Their friends are they don't, you're no good to them anymore. They want to find new friends. Separation. Disconnection. Remove. I'm going to remove myself from that church. You know, they don't like this. They don't like that. I've seen it too many times. And so they start going down, down. And the fourth step is sensuality. Unrestrained, indulging in sensual pleasure. That's what they're doing. They're indulging in. They like what they're doing. So that's the fourth step down. And the fifth step is they become spiritual destitute. Meaning that they are very pure, poor, and destitute are lichen. Meaning that they'll do anything now. The sixth step is abasement, which means to be humiliated or degraded. You see them, and you don't hardly recognize them anymore. They are so degraded until you don't even hardly recognize them. You don't trust them no more. Their eyes are funny. They look like they're from another world, and they act like they don't even recognize you. The next step, which is the final step that is down in the gutter, is called starvation. And they are perishing for the lack of food, suffering from hunger. In need for spiritual food, somebody to give them something that they need to nourish them so they can get enough strength to make another step up. And so at that point, your first step up is realization, realizing where you're at, realizing that you are in a gutter and that your Father has better things for you than that. Even his hired servants are not eating in the hog pen. They're not walling with the hog. Even his hired servants are living better than you are. But you chose to put yourself down in the gutter. So when you come into the point that at your final state that you come into realization, listen, I need to do something to get out of here. So your next step up, number two, is what's your resolution? What's the resolution to my problem? How am I going to get out of this deep hole that I dug? The pastor had told many times that how he got into his gutter and how he thought that there was no hope for him because he had messed up his life so bad. And he was not raised that way. He was not taught that way. And at one time, he was in right standing with everybody because he was a man of integrity. But now he's down in the gutter and don't know how to get out. But finally, God arrested him and gave him the resolution, realization, and resolution to make two steps. And see, you don't have no problem. You don't have no problem. I don't care what you're on or what you're doing or how low you are. You need to make one step. You don't need no 12 steps. You need one step. And that's Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. That's all you need is one step. You start making that step up, resolution. Repentance is your third step. Meaning that you are godly sorry for what you've done and how you've acted and how you messed up your life. And you come into that repentance state that you ask God, God, forgive me for how I have messed up my life. I have messed up other people's life. The fourth step is to, once you become into that repentance state, you got to make us a return to God. You got to return to God with all the strength in your body. You got to make that fourth step to return to God. I don't care what it takes. Get in somebody's house that preaching the true gospel, the true word that will tell you the gospel truth. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't care how low you get. I don't care how bad you look. I'm still right there to rescue you. And that's what a true daddy will do. A true daddy will never give up on their children, no matter how what they look like or what they do. A true father will always be there to help them. The only thing that he's waiting on is a true repentance. That's all he's asking for. He loved God, love you so much. Your fifth step is a step of reconciliation. Change from Satan. Change that old partner to a new partner. Let God be your partner from now on. Don't let Satan be your master anymore. He don't control you anymore. You are controlled by your daddy. From now on, I'm just going to fall on my daddy. I'm going to go home and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I ask you to forgive me. The next step is to be reclothed, to put on a new garment. Take off that filthy garment that you had, that you've been in the hog pen and all this. Take it off and put on the garment of Christ. Put on a new garment. Put on the new garment. Your last step, which is number seven, is to rejoice. You're back in the family. Now it's time to rejoice. I come to tell you today, I don't care what you have done. I don't care how low you have stooped. I'm telling you that once you have gone through the seven steps of Christ, you are in the family again. And you are entitled to all the royalties that God had in store for you. You are entitled to walk and work in the kingdom of God. You are entitled to eternal life. You're entitled to that because the God that you serve, he not only loved you so much that he himself gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him and trust in him shall never perish. You shall never die. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. But see, in that lower state, you think that you're lost. You're not lost. You got on the wrong road. Make a turnaround. Let's see what the prodigal son did. What? How much time I got? I got to step on it. 12:14. I'm going to put that big clock up here. Sister Linda, I want you to get that clock. I want you to put it up here. Just in case somebody's in a hurry so I can, because I gotta give it to them quickly. Because I don't want them to run before they get to punchline. So let's see, said, when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hallelujah. The Bible said that when one sinner repents, that Jesus himself rejoiced. Not only does he rejoice, but the angels in heaven rejoice. For one sinner, one lost sheep that is lost, that God will leave the 90 and go out and search for that one lost sheep. You are precious to God. God do not want you to be lost. Let's go on. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fattest calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I'm going to take and put myself, I'm going to put a ring. In the old days when you had a ring on your hand, it represented who you was. If you was of the royal family, you had a royal family ring on you. You had a royal family robe on you. You had shoes that was different from others. Everybody knew you as being in the royal family. I come to tell you today that you are in the royal family. I don't care where you've been before, but today you are in the royal family. You're in the family of God. You're no more poor or waiting to be a servant, but you are a king child. Some of you looking at me like, I don't believe you, but I'm going to tell you something. God can put one thought in your mind, in your head, will make you rich for the rest of your life. Just one thought, just one word, just one idea. You won't never have to work. What kind of daddy is that? So let's go on. For, He said, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I'm telling you, merry means that to be praising God, glorifying God, being happy. But everybody, just because you come back to the church, just because you come back to the family, everybody that claimed to be your brother and your sister is not happy because you're back and getting all the things that they thought they should have had. They are mad at God. They're mad at God, and you happy because, well, look at her. I know where she been. Look at him. I know. I don't care where they been. It's where they are now. Now is time. Now is the time. Now is where it's at. It's now. It's not what I used to be. It's who I am now. Oh, I'm getting stirred up here. God has reclothed me. He has reclaimed me. He has put his ring back on my hand, my shoes back on my feet, and a robe on me. And I'm walking as a child of the King, no more in the hog pen. No more. I'm out of the hog pen. Let's read on down a few ways and I'll be cutting it in about 10. Said that in the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing, he called one of the servants and asked, what is these things meant? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fattest calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was hungry and would not go. He was angry. Hungry, angry. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father, he was so angry, he wouldn't even go in and join in. That's like some people in church. People get healed of cancer. People get healed of things, and they won't even go in to bless them or help them. They mad because, well, I had it, and I still got it. So what? You can get rid of it. Get some of that stuff out of y'all. They have found out, one doctor was telling me, that a lot of times people are upset and they're mad at everybody. And I'm just going to put it mildly. He said they need to go to the bathroom. Said after they go to the bathroom, their personality will change. Is that what he told us, Sister Linda? I said, you have learned me something. You taught me something today. So this young man needed to go and relieve himself because he was full of something. He didn't even have enough love for his brother that his brother was dead. You're still laughing at it. His brother was dead out there lost, and his brother didn't come back, and he's so jealous that he can't even rejoice with his daddy. So listen at this. And isn't this the way they talk? Verse 29, and he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgress at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this son come, which has devoured thy living, with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this brother, thy brother, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now he's so supposed to be in the church, supposed to be a child of a brother, but yet he got so much jealousy. God said, he said, you've been with me all the time. What is mine is yours. Some of you are not getting the blessing of God because you don't ask for it. You don't ask for it. The blessing has always been there. Whatever is God is yours. It's there for you all the time, but you're so busy that, you know, you're being taken care of. You don't have no wants, per se. And so you don't utilize what you have. God will bless you. A new person that comes in the church that get enough faith to live for God and God will bless them. Don't get mad at them because they're getting houses and cars and stuff and you sitting around driving the same old car because you don't have enough faith. Out of all the years you've been in church, you can't even believe God for a new house. You can't even believe God for nothing, but then when somebody gets some faith that can believe God, you're mad at him. Well, I've been around that church for years. I've been helping. I clean commodes. I do this, I do that. And I look at me. I'm not being blessed. God bless you. But God said you can have anything you say. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. That if you act for something, believe that you have it and you shall have it. That either is a truth or a lie. It is the truth. He said, I think it's in John 16 something. He said, in that day that you shall, he said, you have not asked anything in my name. But if you ask anything in my name, he will give it to you. Why? That the Father will be glorified. Didn't he say that? So when God gives you things, it is to glorify the Father. He's so glad that you got enough faith that you can believe God for miracles. That you can believe God for anything. There are some people that they don't even think that. Like Bill Gates, once he got his idea on a seed he didn't stop believing that he couldn't create a seed or invent a seed or whatever that you put in a computer to make a computer has a brain like a human. It's not in his memoir or whatever. He don't think that way. A man of God don't think of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Believe God until there is no belief. Just believe until God do what he want to do. This man here say, for God I live, for God I die. When we first started this church, I didn't start it to quit. We've had many come and go, but I didn't start no church to quit. I don't care who don't stay. I'm still going to preach. I'll preach to one or two as hard as I would a whole bunch of people. Because I know that where there's two or three gathered in the name of Jesus, he's still in the midst.